praise you, God. Father God, we come to you this evening, Lord, not as foreigners or aliens, not as those that just once in a while come and knock on your door, but Lord, we're your kids. We're your people. We are those, Lord, that value being your friend. Lord, we thank you for being such a present God and being with us the way that you are. And we thank you, Lord, that even the greater promise, as we two or more of us gather in your name, Lord, you are here in the midst of us. Lord, tonight we're just thankful that we can depend upon your presence, depend upon, Lord, having the experience of being with you and having you involved in our lives. Lord, I thank you for taking interest in each and every life, Lord. Lord, as your scripture says in the Gospels, that you take notice that when even a little sparrow falls, and how much more special are we than the little sparrows, Lord. That, Lord, you have the hairs on our heads numbered, Lord. You know everything about us, Lord. You're that much, Lord, occupied with us and in love with us, that, Lord, there's nothing, Lord, that happens in our life that escapes your view. Lord, we just thank you for such a God as this. Lord, we thank you that you allow us, Lord, to, and you allow us the grace, Lord, to get to know you, Lord, to, even though we may stumble along the way, we're growing, Lord, in our understanding and our knowledge and our relationship with you each and every day. I thank you that we don't have to worry that we're going to get beat with a stick if we do something wrong. But, Lord, I thank you that we've got a God that corrects and cares, that you are intent on us, Lord, being transformed in that very image and that very goal that you have for our lives, and that is the image of your Son. So, Lord, tonight we're here, Lord, in anticipation, expectation, confidence that God, you will be with us tonight. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, oftentimes we've got a God that is extremely active in our lives. And a lot of times we're not aware of it. But it doesn't stop him doing what he does. He doesn't change. He's active in our lives. He's always setting things in place. He's always caring. The Bible says he forever intercedes for us, or continues to intercede for us. So he's always there on our behalf, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't sense it, even when it seems like things aren't going right. You know, even the last couple days, you know, with trying to get my pool running, and we got an in-ground pool, and every year it's somewhat can be a challenge of, you know, getting the thing up and running. And I've been doing it now for 20-some years. Well, this year it's got me stumped. I've been spending 2 days just spinning my wheels, going and buying parts and this and that, and I just can't get the filter to work. Nothing seems to be going right, you know. So I just say, well, Lord, that has nothing to do with my peace. It has nothing to do with my joy or my fulfillment in life. You know, it has nothing to do with that. I'm just going to enjoy the life that God's given me. Amen? Because I know God has things for me, you see. And I don't want to be so narrow-minded that if the very thing that I want to happen doesn't happen, that doesn't mean that God's not involved in my life. You know, because that filter won't start up and run right, doesn't mean that God is not just crazy about me and desiring to fill my life with nothing but good things. Amen? It's just that he's not doing that. But he's doing umpteen other things on my behalf. Amen? He's interceding. He is holding me in a place of being in right standing with the Father. He is pouring his love out on me. He is bringing revelation and understanding to me. He's doing so much more And so many times we're so narrow-minded, we can be, that if he's not doing what we want at that moment, then God's just not doing anything in my life, which is the furthest thing from the truth. Because God never stops working on our behalf in our lives. And the Bible says that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into our heart what God has in store for those whom he loves. Amen. Beyond our wildest dreams or imagination, God has blown all of that and gone way by it and just blessed our lives. Amen. Tell the person beside you, you are so blessed. You are blessed. You are so, 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 so blessed. We are the people of God. Amen? And our God is such a blessing. He's an awesome God. And we just need to wake up to it. We just need to be alive to it. And I was just reading Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 13 says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Amen? So awake, another version says, awake sleeper. You know, awake you sleepers. Because oftentimes, you know, we fall asleep and we get sleepy in the spirit, and we're not alert to what God's doing in our lives. Amen? So we need to be alert. Have our antennas up. Bing. You know? We are alert to what God is doing because God is doing far more than you could ever imagine a thing. God is just on the move in our lives. Amen? And he's a good God. And he knows how to do good things and to give good gifts. And so we need to let him do the good that he does and not resist it or not deny it or, what's the other word I was looking for, not ignore it. I guess I can use that word. Amen? Ignore it. In other words, just go on with our life. You know, just ignoring God. Bible says we need to acknowledge him in all of our ways. That means the easy ways, the hard ways, the high ways, the low ways, all of our ways. We're acknowledging him. Amen? So, Dave, you have some music for us? Let's do it. Amen. Let's worship the Lord today. Let's just be alert and aware of him. Yeah.
you look at our lives. Once we were on the road to hell, now we're on the road to heaven. Would you look at our lives? Oh, once we were lost and we could not see. Would you look at our lives? Oh, thank you, Lord. Now his blood has come. It's captured me. It's cleansed me. It's healed me. And it's set me free. Ephesians 5 says, don't be drunk with wine. That leads to debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to sing. You're going to encourage each other with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Melodies are going to come flowing out from your heart unto the Lord. Oh, let the melodies flow in this room, oh God. So let's encourage each other. Turn around and sing His banner over you. Banner over me. It's right out of the Bible. Ephesians 5, 19. We encourage each other with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing it now.
His banner over me. His banner over me. His banner over us. It is love, love, love. His banner over you. His banner over me. His banner over us. It is love.
Strong and mighty, who is like the Lord? Good and all the time.
God is good
and all the time.
God is good
all the time.
He put a song of praise in this heart of mine.
God is good.
He is
all the time.
Through the darkest night, His light will shine.
God is good.
Yes, He is.
God is good
all the time.
Here we go.
God is good.
Light will shine.
God is good.
Yes.
God is good.
shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you, he will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and his word is true.
God is good all the time.
He put a song of praise in this heart of mine.
God is good all the time.
Through the darkest night, his light will shine.
God is good. God is good all the time.
Yes, he is. Listen.
We were sinners and so unworthy. Still for us he chose to die. Filled us with his Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end.
God is good all the time.
He put a song of praise in this heart of mine.
God is good all the time.
Through the darkest night, his light will shine.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen? So good. Amen. Did your feet move a little bit on that one?
Yes.
Did our feet move a little bit on that one? Just a little? Some of us are flat-footed, but at least they move, you know? God is good all the time. What an exciting thing. He's always caring for us, always watching out for us, always blessing us. God never fails. Amen? He's good. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, I just wanted to, let's see, we're going to go to, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I think I'll start there. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness that is declared to us, Lord. Thank you for the goodness that's declared in your word. Father, I thank you for your word that comes forth, and even the book of Romans, Lord, that shows us, Lord, that we're no longer bound by a law, but, Lord, we're free in the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that your word tonight, Lord, that your word is spirit and life, Lord. I pray, Lord, that for the Spirit of God, your Holy Spirit, God, to bring forth the life of this word tonight. Lord, let it not just be information conveyed or words spoken from somebody babbling on, but Lord, let it be, Lord, life tonight. Let it be spirit and life tonight. Let it bring life to each and every one of us, Lord. Because you alone have the words of life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go. So we're going to go to Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I like Romans 4. I read this a couple weeks ago. Romans 4:25, the verse just above, says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You see, the resurrection of Christ is what brought the justification. We keep our eyes on the sin that was paid, and that was great. You know, it says that he died to do that. He was delivered up because of that offense. But the purpose of his resurrection was that you and I could be justified. Amen? And to be justified means that we're made right with God. So what makes us right with God? Jesus rose from the dead. That's what makes us right with God. Amen? So then it goes on to say, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have access into this grace. What grace is he talking about? The grace he's talking about here was the justification that you and I get to experience. It's done by grace. We all know Scripture says, by grace you've been saved, not of your own works. It's the grace of the justification, the grace of making us right with God is what he's talking about. And it says we have access to that. And we have access to that by faith. And it's interesting. We stand in the grace, but we access that grace by faith. Now, if I were to ask you tonight, when I speak of faith, what do you think of when I speak of faith?
Moving mountains, okay.
When you speak of faith, you're talking about moving mountains. What's that? Believing in something, okay. Even if you don't see it, we know Hebrews says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence to even the things that we don't see, right? And it becomes... we walk by faith and not by sight. So it now becomes a new way in which we perceive things. So faith allows us to perceive. You know, it allows us to comprehend and see things that we normally cannot see. So by this faith, we're accessing. And this morning, I was looking at a few things because some people, when they think of faith, I think there's different understandings of faith. I know the book of James, let's see where if I had that marked here. The book of James, it says this, James chapter 2, verse 19 says, you believe, and that word believe is the same word that is used for faith there, but it says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So some people, when they're thinking of faith, they're thinking of just an intellectual agreement with something. They're thinking of faith as, yeah, I believe that. I believe in that. You know, I believe in that. I believe in that. It's like today I got a call from one of the, it wasn't even the presidential thing. It was some other political somebody running for governor somewhere to knock this one out that allows this to do, and so on and so on. And, you know, do you believe in what we're doing? Yeah, I believe in what you're doing. He says, well, then can you send us $100? I said, I don't believe in it that much. Goodbye. You know. I could agree with their concept, but I didn't believe in them enough, you know, to send them $100 pledge, you know. And it's the same thing with our faith. You know, remember when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. In other words, Peter, I am praying that your faith is strong enough so that you can overcome the sifting in your life. There's different depths of faith. We grow in faith, and oftentimes, since faith is the access to the grace, oftentimes we don't comprehend fully the grace that God has for us because of where our faith is at that moment. Because faith gives us access to this grace. If you really believe that Jesus has done it all and there's nothing that you have to do to accomplish your salvation, right? There is a freedom that we have. Now, oftentimes, we're growing in that understanding. We're growing in that freedom, and that our faith is being strengthened. But, you know, faith, I wrote down a few things here, and let's see if I can find them about faith. Find my glasses, I'll be all right. So what I found as I was looking at this, that faith covers various levels of personal commitment. We can say we have faith in something, but I believe there's different levels when we're saying that of the faith that we're portraying. Mere intellectual faith to a truth doesn't cut it. It's like we read in James. James said, hey, even the demons believe. So obviously that level of belief didn't save them, did it? James was saying, hey, you know, you can believe to a certain extent. That's good for you. Great. But you know what? Even the devils believe that much. So you know how James is. James was all about, look, if you say you have faith, then you better act like you have faith. You know, and he goes into this whole thing about faith without works is dead. In other words, if your faith isn't the kind of faith that produces something in your life, then it's not the kind of faith that we're talking about. It's not the faith that's going to move mountains, right? So there's a differentiation between just conscientiously agreeing with something, and the other thing is putting true faith, gospel-believing faith, into it. So genuine saving faith is a personal, this is what the note that I found, genuine saving faith is a personal attachment to Christ. And it's a combination of two ideas. One, relying on Christ, and the other, commitment to Christ. See, faith is an action word. You know, when you really study faith, you realize that faith isn't a passive thing. Faith has action to it, right? Faith is alive, and basically is a faith. We have to rely totally on God for our salvation. Absolutely, we have to rely. We have to totally, you know, rely on that. But then there's the other side that it causes and rises up a commitment to Him. Proverbs 16, 1 to 3. Let's read that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. We'll be going to a couple of scriptures here tonight. Proverbs 16, 1 says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commitment. You know, commitment is something that is very integral and very much a part of faith. See, some people have this idea that faith is a feeling. Faith is a feeling. I mean, okay, I have faith. If I have faith and I feel like I can do this, or to have faith, I feel like I can believe. But faith is not a feeling. Faith is a choice. Faith involves commitment. Faith is not just a feeling. Because, you know, for instance, think of it, the kind of faith that Abraham had. Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to leave your country. And you go ahead and I'm going to make you a mighty, mighty nation. You think Abraham really felt like leaving? Do you think it really like he's like, oh boy, I get goosebumps every time I think of just leaving this place. No, but he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Through his act of faith, Abraham grabbed a hold of something that is imparted through the gospel, the righteousness of God in Christ. He grabbed a hold of it by faith, right? And it wasn't like he felt like it. Now, how about, you know, the three Hebrew boys going into the furnace? They didn't like, well, it's a little chilly today. I'm so happy I get to get in this hot furnace. They didn't feel like it, you know? And it wasn't like, oh, God, if I've got enough faith to do this, I'm going to feel like I want to do it. No, it has nothing to do with feelings. Thank God that feelings come along. Thank God when we align our spirit up with him, we begin to worship him, we begin to have communion with him in the midst of the situation, the feeling comes. But faith is not a feeling. If faith was connected to feelings, then it would be very situational. Because feelings change. And feelings are part of the flesh. Absolutely. And it's great when the joy of the Lord can be manifest in our flesh. When we can feel the goosebumps and the tinglings and like we felt Monday night, you know, when we were praying, we were studying the Spirit in our new believers class, and I know at least talking to Tyler, he was saying, man, I felt so light. I felt like I could just float away, you know, and some of them started giggling a little bit because we were talking about, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we were believing God for a touch of his Spirit. And that's a wonderful feeling. I love feeling that light in that way. And you know what? That's how we're to live. We're to live constantly filled with the Spirit, right? And so we're just carried along. But it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's an act of the Holy Spirit that brings that release and that lightment in it. I believe our Christian life is meant to be easy. My yoke is easy and my burden of life. He said, if you're heavy laden, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our life and our Christian walk should be light. You might say, well, that's not the gospel. I thought we're supposed to be persecuted. We're, you know, the world hated me. The world's going to hate you and so on and so on. Well, absolutely. But in the midst of that, by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the load is lightened. That's the feeling that we're looking for. But we must understand that we access that grace by faith, which is not a feeling at all. So if we're waiting for the feeling to happen, to say, okay, well, I got the faith to do it, we've got things mixed up. And the flesh is tricking us, and the enemy is messing with our heads because our faith is not a feeling. Our faith is a choice. It is a commitment. Like the Apostle Paul says, and I wrote it down here, what he said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he says this, "For I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day." In other words, Paul says, I've been walking out a commitment to the Lord. And you know what? I don't see everything that I want to see happen. But I am persuaded. I have made up my mind. I have made a choice that He is able to keep what my commitment is in Him. And that is, Lord, I'm gonna walk by faith. I'm going to believe in You. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to do it Your way. I have made up my mind. That's what I'm doing. My faith is a choice. It's a commitment to God. And that is how I'm going to access the grace that He's given me. Amen? Because if I let feelings get involved, then all of a sudden now, I doesn't feel like I'm being saved. I mean, I'm messing with that stupid filter, and you know what? I'm about ready to kick the thing in and say, I don't feel like this is such a wonderful day, Jesus, you know? But I made my choice. No, that thing is not going to rob my life. That thing, if that thing rusted up and, you know, what eternal value does that have anyway? You know, so in a sense, I said, who cares about that? You know, I'm living for the Lord today. I'm excited for the things of God. God has so much for me. Amen? And it could be, you know, I don't know what your pool filter was today. You know, I don't know what your little challenge was today. You know, but we have days that, you know, that the enemy wants to harass us. We have days that this world is harassing, man. There's such a harassing spirit loosed in this world that wants to aggravate us. It wants us to be so frustrated with life that we don't, you know, we're not even able to see the goodness of God. But I thank God His goodness is not based upon the things of this world. You know, the enemy thinks he's so smart. He's going to harass us and give us harassment and all these little issues of life. And Jesus is just in our hearts setting us free. Amen. He's just blessing on us. He's just saying, don't worry about that. I got it covered. Amen. You're going to have tribulations in this world, but don't be afraid of that. I have overcome the world. You can be an overcomer through believing and having faith in God. And understand that your faith is not based on how it feels. You are committed to God. You believe in Him. You know that God is faithful. And you know He will come through for you. And you make the choice to keep trusting and serving and walking in His way. And believing that His way will lead us to the way of everlasting. Amen? It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter how you feel. God is able. Amen? Let's go to, let's see, which other one I want? Psalms 37, 5. But faith is so important to grace, because we found in Romans 5 that's how we have access into that grace. Faith is a doorway to grace. 37. Let's read. Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I was feeding on His faithfulness today. I was saying, you know, that stupid thing, it's going to just rust out anyway one of these days, and who cares about that? God is faithful. And just feed on His faithfulness. Amen? You know, because, hey, the stuff around us is passing away. It's not going to last forever. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Would you rather have everything go right and feel good, or would you rather have the desires of your heart? Because things can feel good and you're still not getting the desires of your heart, man. Just because everything goes your way, it doesn't mean that's going to end up the way in which you're going to have the desires of your heart, man. Oftentimes, we find that our ways are not his ways. Oftentimes, we find that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. Oftentimes, we find ourselves, we should have been like David and said, Lord, you lead me in the way of everlasting. I mean, you know everything. You know my coming and going, my rising and my... You're the one that, Lord, you lead. You know, you take the lead, Lord. I'm going to just walk by faith and let you take the lead because you know how to get me where you know I need to be and that you know how to give me the desires. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Then here it goes. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. Did you find that out yet? Did you find out that fret just causes harm? I mean, it just makes things worse. Just ruins my day. It just wrecks everything up. You know, it just, you know, and the evil doing around us, the things that aren't pleasant going on around us, you know, he says, don't worry about that. Don't fret about that. Delight in me. I can give you the desires of my heart, of your heart. See, we oftentimes are fooled. We think for the desires of our heart to be met, all these little things have to fall in place. Well, thank God that's not true. Thank God that's not true. But for us to walk in the full expression and understanding of that and the full access of that, then we must not have a faith that is based on feelings. We must have a faith that enables us to access that grace. We must have a faith that allows us to walk in a commitment to him so that he can bring it to pass. Amen? Because that's what happens. God is a God that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. And if we're always running around fretting, trying to seek after, you know, what we think is going to be right, and we're not seeking after him, then all we're doing is chasing our tail and hoping one day, you know, that things are going to come together for us. But I want you to know things have already come together for you. Things have already come in line for you. Jesus did it. He already fixed it all. You know, what we needed fixed has been fixed. What has been needed to be done has been done, has been accomplished. And Jesus did it. And he did it. And he said, Father, I've been faithful to you. I've done everything. Now I'm praying for those. Was it John 17? I'm praying for those that are left behind. Those who come to believe, through belief, enter in. I'm praying that you keep them. Don't take them out of the world, but you keep them while they're in the world. They're not of the world, neither am I of the world, but I pray that the love that you have for me will be in them also. Because love does not disappoint. Because love never fails. Because when we know how much he loves us and we know how intent he is on enjoying life with us and delighting and filling the desires of our hearts, then we're satisfied with his love. We're not unsatisfied lovers looking for another, looking for love in all the wrong places. No, I know I'm loved, and I know who loves me. And I know the difference between his love and the imposter's love. I know the difference between his voice and another's voice. And the other voice I'm not going to follow. I'm going to follow him because he fills the desires of my heart. And he does it so well. He's a good God. He's faithful. But we must come to the place of understanding that we access this through faith. Faith is a belief in something, absolutely. But faith is not the feeling of that belief. Faith is, I've made up my mind. I've made my choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Remember that old song? No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. We've decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, was the other verse, something like that. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Thank you, Jesus. See where I was on my little quest here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, I was looking into Judges chapter 6. It was talking about Gideon. Judges chapter 6, talking about Gideon. Remember Gideon, it was at the time where the Midianites kept coming in, raiding the land, leaving no food for the Israelites. No matter how hard they worked, they didn't get the benefit of their labor. They kept toiling and toiling. And every time they would have a decent crop in which they felt like, finally, we got some food to feed our families. All of a sudden it said that the enemy would come across the land like a swarms of locusts and just eat everything in sight and take everything. And the Israelites would go and they would hide in caves and they would do everything they could just to survive. They had a survival mentality. They didn't have a I'm so blessed God has given me the land mentality. It was, I don't know how I'm going to live another day. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I just don't know how. They had a survival mentality. And the Lord came to, what's his name? Gideon. Excuse me. The Lord came to Gideon and said, Gideon, he said, rise up, you mighty man of valor. I mean, here he was the survival mentality. He was hiding. He was trying to thresh wheat in a wine press, which you don't do that because it's two different processes and you need two different lays of the land. If you're doing the wheat, you know, separating the wheat from the tare, you need it on a high place where there's a breeze where you can throw it in the ground and let the chaff be separated. But no, this was in a cold, dark wine press. They were trying to separate it out. You know, life was not easy. Things were not going their way. And the Lord comes walking up. Yo, Gideon, you mighty man, you incredible man of God, rise up. And he's like, what are you talking about? Do you ever feel like that some days? And the Spirit of God comes knocking on your door saying, come on, rise up. And then Gideon was like, you know what, I just don't have the strength. You know, I'm just, you know, the least in my tribe, of the least of all the tribes of Israel. Can't you find somebody else better? You know, I just can't do it. It might work for so-and-so, but, you know, it doesn't work for me. And the Lord says, I want you to rise up in the strength in which you have. Now think of it. What strength did this guy have? I mean, he was a quitter. He was a hider. He was just trying to survive. He was like, I don't have a bit of strength. But the Lord looked at him and said, I see strength. And he says, rise up in this strength that you have. And then, you know, he began this whole thing about, is this really God or not? You know, God, if that's you, then what, you know, if you're so good, God, then why are we in this problem? And God didn't tell him this way. God said, the problem isn't me, the problem's you. You had the strength all along. You had what you needed all along. But that's okay. I'm not going to run off and leave you to yourself, because I'm a God that loves his people. I'm here for you. And Gideon says, well, let me go and get something. I want to make an offering. And the Lord says, go ahead, I'll wait for you. Is the Lord waiting for you? Is the Lord speaking to your heart, saying, come on, rise up, let's go. You don't need to be living this way anymore. And you're like, well, just a minute, Lord, I got to just check a few things out. And the Lord, okay, I'm willing to wait for you. So the story goes, if you don't remember, you can read it, but I'll tell it to you in story form here. He goes and he gets a sacrifice to bring it back, because he understood, his mentality was, if you're going to approach God when you're feeling not worthy, that you have to have something of a sacrifice that God can come and consume, and that could be the intercession for you, because you know that you're sinning, you don't measure up. So he's like, okay, well, you go do that. So he comes back, and he has this sacrifice. And the Lord says, okay, I want you to put it on this rock. And when Gideon put it on the rock, all of a sudden God came and consumed the offering. And Gideon knew then that he had, that God had accepted his sacrifice, that he was acceptable to God. Now he knew, hey, wait a minute, we're on to something here. And he recognized it was God. Then he said, whoa, I've seen God, and so therefore I'm going to die. And God says, no, don't worry about it. I got you covered. But he says, I want you to rise up in the strength in which you have. In other words, Gideon, I want you to step forward in your faith and commitment, and I will take care of the rest. All you got to do is put your foot forward, Gideon. You see? It's not works. It's an action to our belief. It's a faith in action. It's like, I do believe, Lord. I am committed to your ways, Lord. The Lord comes and he says, look, I've got a plan. You want to be part of it? Let me think about it, Lord. He's waiting for us to say, I sure do, God. What do I do next? See, that's our commitment. That's our commitment. Our commitment isn't, you know, this hard thing that, oh, I'm going to do it in my own strength. No, it's like, God, yeah, I want to be part of what you're doing. I'm willing, God. I believe you. I believe in what you're doing. I'll give the $100 donation, you know, like the guy that called me on the phone. You know, I didn't believe him that much to give him $100. You know, I wasn't in that much of an agreement. The Lord said, no, are you in agreement to put your life into what I'm doing? Are you in agreement? And the whole story goes that Gideon, because he, as little as he thought he was, because he took what little he had and he put it in the effort of what God wanted done in the purposes of God by faith and believing in God, that with 300 men, that was what Gideon's army ended up being. He ran off and beat and defeated millions, if not hundreds of thousands, of all the ites that occupied the land. And the Lord showed him that what little we think we have and what little strength we think we have, like he said in the Gospels, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the ocean, and it will obey you. Because it's not the matter of the size of our faith, but it's a matter of taking what we have and engaging it in the things of God. Yes. And that's what James was trying to say. James was not against the grace message. James was saying, wait a minute, whatever faith you have, you got to put it into action. Yeah. Or if not, it just lays dormant, it's dead. You've got to activate this thing. You've got to engage this thing. If you believe, then that's how you've got to live. You've got to put some commitment into this thing because that's really what faith is. You know, faith is, I believe it enough that I'm committed to it, that I'm going to engage in it, that I'm going to believe this thing. It's not just a passive intellectual agreement with. It's a, I'm putting my life into this thing. And you might say, well, you know, I don't feel like doing that. Well, that's not what faith is. Faith is not the feeling. Faith is the choice, is the commitment. Like Paul said, hey, I know whom I believe in. Amen. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. It was a commitment. Paul did what he did out of commitment to the God that he believed in and had faith in. And when we do that, you're going to move mountains. When you do that, things are going to happen. When we activate our faith in that way, we will see things happen. But if we sit back and say, yeah, I have faith in God. You know, someone comes up and they're in trouble and they have nowhere to turn. And yeah, we have faith in God. And we do nothing. We don't act on it. We don't reach out. We don't share the gospel. We don't invite them to come to church. We don't, you know, try to engage in their life and share Christ with them. Then guess what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. But if we share. You know, I was just rejoicing with Sherry earlier about her neighbor. She had a neighbor, you know, probably one of those guys you think would be the last guy that would ever step into church. And he's already been here a couple times. And he told me, you know what? In my own way, I really got something out of this. And he likes it. And we'll probably see him again. It's a matter of, I remember years ago with Tammy, remember we went to see your cousin? And this is a lady that she said, the last person that would ever want anything to do with God. All her life, all she did was speak against God, curse God, laugh at people, mock people, right? We rolled Tammy into the hospital room where her cousin was. And Tammy begins to share a testimony. And we say to her cousin, do you want to receive Jesus? Yeah, I want to receive Jesus. Good thing she was sitting in her wheelchair because she would have fell over. Because there was an effort, an action put to that faith. And we could see God move. And it was an incredible thing to watch and see, wasn't it, Tammy? We were rejoicing that. And the Lord raised her up and got her out of the hospital, didn't he? Yeah. And gave her another chance. And later on, he took her home. But they said she was going to be gone any moment. Yeah. Well, the Lord healed her, raised her up, and got her out of the hospital after she received the Lord. So what I'm saying is that we have a treasure in us, in this earthen vessel. And we have something that is placed in us. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We get the kingdom of God within us that has such value. And we have the grace given to us by God to be heirs to this kingdom, to be ambassadors of Christ, to be sons and daughters and children of God. And we've been given such a wonderful, awesome opportunity. But we access all of this opportunity by faith. By faith, which is, let me sum it up in this way. Faith is a reliance on him and him only for all that I ever believe in or all that I'd ever love to have or all that I hope in. For my salvation, for my deliverance, I'm totally relying on him. And in that reliance on him, I'm totally committed. Reliance and commitment. Reliance and commitment. Reliance and commitment. That's what real faith is. It's not feeling. It's a choice based on reliance and commitment. And if we make that choice, it's like, was it Was it Moses that stood up that day and said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve? Was it Moses? Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua, thank you. Me and my house, that's Joshua, right, thank you. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In other words, make a choice here. Make a choice. The choice is, and I know what the choice of all of us in here, because I know you all, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. But remember this, faith is not your feelings. It's your choice and commitment to rely on the Lord, no matter what the situation is. And I have a ton of examples that I'm not going to go into. There's all kinds of examples where men in the scripture just relied on the Lord no matter what it looked like. Amen. And God came through. Amen. God came through. Let's all stand up, if you would, please. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you tonight for such incredible grace that allows us to be who we are in you, that empowers us, that enables us to be, Lord, the children of God, that enables us, Lord, to be prophets, teachers, apostles, Lord, that allows us, Lord, to move, Lord, freely in the gifts of your Spirit, Lord, that, Lord, allows us to be the children of God, that gives us access to this incredible kingdom. Father, I thank you for your grace, your enabling power in our life. And I thank you, Lord, for enabling us to access that grace simply by faith, by believing in you. And Lord, tonight I pray for breakthroughs of faith. Lord, I pray that faith would arise. Lord, I thank you faith is not some nebulous thing that just kind of comes in the smoke and the fog. Lord, it's not a mystical thing. But faith, oh God, is my choice tonight to believe you. To believe you. Father, I pray for breakthroughs of faith tonight. Lord, just as you prayed for Peter, that his faith would not fail him, that he would be strengthened, oh God, that he would be able to rise up, Lord, in his determination and persuasion that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, tonight, in the name of Jesus, through the working of your Spirit, just stir up the faith of each and every one of us in this place. Father, I pray for strength to rise up. Lord, I believe as you spoke to Gideon, rise up, mighty man of valor. Yes. That, Lord, with that very word came the strength, oh God. Came the ability, oh God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And your word has been spoken, Lord, even tonight, even as it's been spoken to Gideon, to rise up, Lord. Even as Peter, Lord, heard you say, come, and he walked right out on the water, right out of the boat. Father, I pray tonight that through your word and through what you're imparting by your Holy Spirit into each and every one of our hearts tonight, that, Lord, that we would be those that could walk on water, those, oh God, that can walk right over the storms of life, those, oh God, that don't have to be swayed by feelings, by what things going around them, that we can be those that are persuaded, that we know that, God, you are able to keep what we commit to you, that, Lord, you are, Lord, a sure thing to be committed to. Lord, we can't go wrong but to be committed to your purposes and your ways. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be part of your ways, oh God, that we get to be part of what you're doing on the face of this earth today. I thank you, Lord, that you have picked us up, Lord, out of the muck and the mire and the dirt and the clay. And you have set our feet, Lord, upon the rock. And you have conveyed us out of darkness and into light, that we are now the children of light. And, Lord, yes, we can show forth your light. That, Lord, that we can allow you to flow through our lives, God, and change the world around us. Lord, this what an awesome, awesome, awesome display of such power and love and grace to your children.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Just let your faith increase in our lives, God. Thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you,
Master. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Great is our God, and great is his name. Great is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a
we'll be right back.
That be our story and our song, just praising our Savior all the day long. Amen. So sweet to be committed to Him. If we commit our ways to the Lord, Proverbs 16, then our thoughts are established. Because as James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We need to be a stable people. Amen. I love stability. I don't like, you know, being tossed to and fro and being, you know, I love being stable. And stability comes through knowing, hey, I am committed to Him all the way through. I'm not wavering. Amen? What a beautiful, beautiful life it is to live committed to the Lord. Amen? And delight in ourselves and His ways and letting Him fill the desires of our heart. He is so good at that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Tell somebody beside you, you're blessed of God. You are blessed. You are blessed of the Lord. You are so blessed. I do have an announcement. There's a yard sale going on June 2nd here that they're using as a missions fundraiser. It's a yard sale Saturday, June 2nd. It's what, a couple weeks, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after. If you have stuff you want to donate, you can do that. If you want to, you know, whatever you want to do to be part of it. So I just want to make sure, because I got a little birdie in my ear telling me, do announcements. Am I missing any other announcements then? Sunday morning right here, worshiping the Lord, excited for Jesus. Amen. Express your faith through commitment of getting up in the morning and coming. Anyway, that's all the announcements I can think of. God bless you all. We'll see.